I will add to more of why you are having this connection. And it is absolutely to share with those who are aspiring to be better beings on this planet or others, doing the work that's necessary. And me having this conversation with you, hoping that people are clear that I am not suggesting that you need to be me or you need to do exactly what I'm doing. But it is my joy that I'm sharing with you that should ignite your joy for you to do exactly what you want to do. This show is not able to capture all the details, but absolutely, I am on a huge high of joy. I just stumbled onto Adrienne Marie Brown's work.
Okay.
And her work is around pleasure activism. And I swear, that was the very thing that I needed to get me through the next several months. The next step of my wanting. How am I able to do all of what I do and still pay my bills? That was like a big deal. But once when you know that I cannot let go of, because that's the part we haven't necessarily discussed either. Most people are saying, I want to do that too, but I got bills to pay.
Yes.
I got kids to pay. I got stuff to do. Yeah, I did too, and I do too. One day, I decided to choose me as opposed to a job and my child and some other person or the world. I chose me. I woke up a little earlier every now and then. This is not all the time. And I did affirmations. I did yoga. I did breathing meditation, crystal singing bowl meditation. And all of those things that I did were just spiritual experiences that got me closer and closer and closer to who I needed to be. Now, I'm going to have to say this, and that's one of the reasons why we're having this conversation, that that was the final gift. That was the final frontier. If you're there. The living plan. That made it happen. Like all the meditation and breathing exercises and crystals and wardrobe shifting and product changing for my body and language changing. None of those things made sense or really caught a hold until I started taking in more wild plants. Yes, I was shopping at Whole Foods or markets that had high vibrational food. Listen, those foods have nothing compared to living plants that you have a relationship with.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I didn't know this until after I decided to farm, but it was a part of the journey. And I can remember standing on my farm in tears because either I have a farm tour or I have a chef to grow for, just not knowing if I had the physical capacity to actually pull it off. And I tell you, I've always pulled it off, and I've always done more than I thought I could, but the reason being is because I sat in my joy. And I took it for plant medicine. I discovered the landscape in which I live, which everybody is not rewarded with doing this, I get it. But somehow, I know how. But we might not have time to talk about how. But this, you know what? I will take another step to say, I'll tell you how I manifested having access to this. When I was in Florida, as an externship consultant, state of Florida also would allow us to take classes that would will influence our career or help us out, they pay for. So they would send you a list of the classes that you could take, and it obviously had to be an area you were in. Mine was breastfeeding peer counselor at the time, so anything with wellness was covered. And at the time, I'm going to say that the class was called Advanced Mindfulness College.
Mm-hmm.
And the instructor's name was Janice Rouse, an amazing instructor. And she was doing a class on movement and well-being. And I really didn't have time to take class, but I really needed to schedule something in my life that would help me to do more of what I love to do. And although I loved helping breastfeeding women, there were some other things that I was absolutely loving to do more of, like the herbs and crystals and the binding. But, you know, I didn't really have an outlet to make money from that, so I had to work a regular job until I figured it out. And my other things on the side. Meanwhile, I signed up for this class. I think the class was like 5 weeks. And it was once a week, 5 weeks. And I remember getting there, there were maybe four, five with instructors. I was glad it was a small class, and she basically expressed to us about the healing aspects of movement and your breath and your fire and all these words that I absolutely loved that she was using basically to create movement as a flow and, you know, light exercise for the body. And I've always been a plus-size girl, and I've never been to a point where I couldn't do exactly what I wanted to do physically. But at that time in my life, I want to say I realized that maybe I should work out some more or do some more outdoor activities, because right now all I'm doing is working. So that was a perfect class. So of course she's playing things like that for it. But she's playing classical pieces, she's playing some meditational sounds, and chimes. And I was into that too, because my background is music and performance, and I love all styles of music, and I absolutely love meditation sounds. But her asking us to create movement with these sounds was interesting. And so we all had our own style of movement, and I love the fact that I was in the studio kind of just expressing myself through movement in a what I consider non Black women, that I will allow to move without the dominant group, which they in the group, to say, why are you doing that? That's not Black. And she describes in her book very well when people tell you things like, the things that you're doing is not Black. Oh my goodness. But yeah, so I was doing this movement, and after she captured us moving and we took a breath and water, she asked us to draw whatever had come to mind after the singing. And I'm thinking, I can draw, but it's just almost a draw. So she gave us black paper and chalk, and we drew, finished listening to the music that we were creating with. So drew these pictures, and this was every time. So, okay, so now I'm clear. It wasn't five classes. It was three, actually, because I have three pictures. And the one picture is about it's just a picture of a woman, and she has awesome. Literally, she has a third eye on her forehead. She has an ox necklace. She has the sun that's of the Om symbol beaming over her house. And she has sort of like a mohawk walk. This cute little picture that I drew. The next picture was, I want to say, a picture of picture of a house, and clearly the house was a big house, but I chose to only draw the size that mattered, and out of that smokestack, there were old smokestacks coming out, old symbols, Sanskrit old. And beside that was this giant apple tree. And I can't remember the third one at this moment, but I will say to you that that lady, Kubota, she said, okay, well, when you're done, I'm going to, I guess, spray with acrylic or whatever, chocolate cloth, so you can put these up. And she said, I want you to take these photos and put them up around your home. And the first thing I thought was like, I'm not going to do that. I've had these little sick people. Drawing, I'm gonna put up on my walls. I got real hard on my walls. I ain't putting it hard up. He said, because that is a part of the medicine. And that was one of the first times I heard someone put medicine with something other than Western medicine. She said, my drawing was medicine? Okay. I mean, it's not gonna hurt. I don't have visitors anyway. My daughter ain't really old enough to judge my art, so let the healing begin. So I put them up. I want to say, I don't know how soon after, but to fast forward to see them up in my house right now, those pictures have already manifested. I did not know that I was going to tattoo my third eye. I did not know that I was going to put an ug on my chest. Nor did I know that I would move back home and live on the right side of the house, of the double house. And nor did I know that I would plant apple trees in that same thing. Those pictures literally have jumped off the page and have manifested in my life. I want to say that I'm coming to the closure and the completion of that because I have access to one more possible lot that is directly by that same window in this photo and to turn it into an apple orchard. I just recently purchased 15 apple trees that have a mini apple orchard, and it's literally on the back lot of the lot that I'm coming to that is next to the space of this kitchen that I didn't know at that time that I would actually have access to. So to move back forward and see those pictures up in my house and to watch it unfold, it said so much to me about what medicine really was. And there is a process of this happening, of you going through something, taking in some wisdom, and then you leveling up, doing what serves you better, and moving on and shifting. But at the same time, it is absolutely laws of vibration and attraction are afoot. If you see it enough, you will achieve it. Right? You've been hanging in my house far enough. There is no way I could have tied you to something that seems common or reasonable for me to be in class this much length. Of course, she cared, how it's manifested. The only way that I can say is that I manifested it because I aligned myself with exactly what I wanted. I drew it out. There was, and I guess that, so I'm going to say, and I got to give a shout out to my sister, Dr. Portia. She is doing some magnanimous vibrational work in the world. And listening to a lot of the posts that she's posting around leveling up, it has so much to do with the laws of vibration, the very things that we're paying attention to. Are the things that you will manifest. So I tell people, if you feel like you just can't let go of that negative story, just tell it failures, and woe is me, and I couldn't believe, and sad, glad, woman, poor stories. But I chose to offer words that were more uplifting and propelling as opposed to lack and hopelessness. And there is something to be said about the people that, and I think you and I talk about this when you say our people, who are our people. For me to be a medicine woman is to be a high vibration of listening, that listens to nature and that responds to nature and all of her fullness. Race is an illusion. So when I say my people, who are my people, I get that. And I do want people to absolutely ask me for, but I will absolutely say that Black people, and I'm a part of those people, have a need for struggle love.
Let's talk about it.
Yes, it's a very interesting dance that's happening with that. Somehow people feel they needed to move forward or to be recognized or to be loved or to be included. I don't know now, but I understand. And the only way that I was able to expand more, to expand more depth, and eating with the I want to eat and saying with the I want to say more often than not, is owning my own time and being the homeschool home care mom that I wanted to be to my baby daughter was because I had to let go of this idea of struggle love, which was looking at the struggle so much, listening to what others were describing what I should and should not be. And that meant I had to be uncomfortable. That meant that I had to meet new people, do new things, be a part of different struggles. Different circles. I'm obviously was talking with different struggles. But I've kind of always been that kind of person because I've been the one in the group that was often told, as Michelle Obama doesn't do good in her good job in her book, described as being white. So that's what white people do. White people eat hummus. White people eat kale. White people eat couscous. Mind you, the farmers that introduced the white people, or the so-called deep people, and have our breaks of food, typically were farmers of color. It says something. The people who grow all of those things.
Yes, yes, yes.
Typically are not white people. And that right there made me realize that this is about a poverty mindset. Which brings me back to one of the words I don't like in food deserts. Yes, another word to describe an area or a group of people when there's so much food to eat back there. You know, and I get it, because I've been vegetarian. When we pick at the vegans, the vegetarians, I call it rabbit food. But many of us lack the right kind of nutrients that come with these sort of high vibrational plants right in your damn backyard. And then we've got this thing that somehow European culture put this standard. You didn't, they didn't see them. That's why they stopped it, which was to breastfeed your children or to eat from the land was considered a poverty thing. You know, because that's the older than white people. That's what white people do. That's what poor white people do. So that is what high vibrational beings.
Absolutely.
They make sense of where they are and make sustainable ecosystems where all are inclusive and able to, as long as they're vibrating life and moving forward. That's what high vibrational beings do. I had to grasp that, honestly, by literally just eating off the land, picking plants and testing and tasting according to my own research and experiences, and mixing them into my vinegars and stir fries and broth and soups and one pot meals, you know, and preserve to feel and hear and understand that. And I'm still learning. I am absolutely still learning. I'm probably, 7, 8 years into this, at the Women in Children's Conference and at the Detroit Psychedelic Conference, that we should microdose on wild plants before we're ready to leave and to root, bark, stem, and mushroom. That's a whole nother reference.
Yes.
You know, and you don't have to. You don't have to, but in my safety experiences, the wild plants, they were the ones who were my allies that made it safe. And they allowed me to create other, I'll say they allowed me to select my community of people that could show up to assist me when I was ready to move on to the next level. Because that's really what happened. When I discovered mugwort from my homegirl Shannon, I was at her house. We had just met. I came over for a cup of tea. She was doing Youngstown. I was back home from Youngstown. We both was in the herbs and bombs and sounds and spells and magic. And I said, "How did you choose?" And she chose mugwort. And I was like, "I've kind of always heard about it. I'll try it." I sipped that tea, and maybe on the third sip, I'm gonna put something in my tea. Something, right? And I asked her, "What was this in my tea?" It's like, "Oh, my word." You know.
How did it make you feel? Or what did you notice?
The first thing I absolutely felt was paranoia. I was paranoid. So to be transparent, my homegirl, Shannon Blackshire, Northside Goddess, is a white woman, you know, and so I was in her house to see that I didn't understand, and you know, I wanted to blame the white people for it. I'm about to put something in my feet, get out.
And she slipped you a Mickey.
She slipped me a Mickey, you know. But one thing I was for sure is I didn't feel uncomfortable. That experience that I was in was not a strange, it was unique, but comfortable. And I simply just used my voice chakra to say, "What is this?" And we discovered through a conversation that I had never had mugwort before. And she said, "I just assume, you know, you show up so big, so powerful. I just assumed that you had already experienced and man, it took me down a rabbit hole of anything in the Archdeacon family. Fell in love with the Archdeacon family. Oh my gosh. Buckwood is my go-to, and it has been from the beginning. It was absolutely that plant that introduced me to all the other blinking plants, as I call them. All the other blinking plants. The valerian root. St. John's wort. These are all the seeds. Because I was already getting herbs and seeds, right? Because I was conscious. And I had access to organic food. My homegirl put that tea on the table, and mugwort was like, "No, you ain't had nothing. You had this." And I had her, and it was expansive feeling. But again, it was the paranoia. And the reason I felt paranoid or concerned, it was because I felt a little discomfort or uncomfortable. And the uncomfortableness, I believe I felt, was this sense of bigness. I could feel everything in the room. I was buzzing, and it was a real feeling. And no, it was not marijuana or cannabis, or I took something, you know. And I'm gonna say that not only was it just the mugwort, but the mugwort that I was sipping, who grew it, and the mug that I was drinking from, who made it, and the woman who processed it for it. All of those layers gave me. I'll never get that again. That specific vibrational feeling. And I'm sharing that because for many of us, it shows up just like that layer. You only got that one time. It's sort of like produce. You may never get more amaranth this beautiful. Or you might never get enough purslane this year. you might not have enough tarot this year, but the years you do, you better make sense of it, because it may never happen again, because that's how nature shows up. She gives just the right dosage in that bloom, uniquely for you, or that particular thing. Is that deep and is that serious? Susan Weed, absolutely, is one of the great medicine women that I've read a lot of her work, you know, a lot of her free material online, you know, where she often talks about the wise woman, you know, not resisting and allowing these plants, these medicines, to very gently show up and serve you, when to harvest them, when to leave them, when to vinegar them, when to tincture them, you know, how to make medicine with them. And to use them, this is what I definitely got from Susan Weed, individually. So if you want to explore nettles, just explore nettles. Don't blend it with home straw. You can, but you might not fully get the experience of what nettles is trying to communicate and share with you. When you ingest it, when you take a bath in it, when you smoke it, drink it, warm it, stick with it. You, there is a unique message that nettles have for you, and you might not be able to fully get what that looks like if you're also blending in with all of the herbs. So, again, if I'm sharing with you that that is one of my paths to success by exploring these plants individually for a certain period of time. And you know, I've got a long way to go. There's so many plans to explore. But if you can kind of hear what I'm saying, that this is like my lifestyle. This isn't a separate speech or a separate talk that I'm having.